Good afternoon. This is Cincinnati Edition for a Monday. I'm Mark Purcell. Theater fans rejoice. The new season is here, and on stages all around town, actors will be hitting their marks. Downtown in the Gateway District of Over the Rhine, Ensemble Theater Cincinnati started things off last week with the regional debut of the hot new play, Other Desert Cities. Artistic director D'Lynn Myers will be in the studio later to tell you about that play and the upcoming season at ETC. And you'll learn how you might get a free tree if you live in the Cincinnati city limits. If you have a question or comment, you can tweet us, post on Facebook, email talk@wvxu.org, or call us at 513-419-7100. First in the studio to talk about five decades of ballet here in our fair city is David Lyman, longtime dance writer and critic and author of the new commemorative book, Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50. The book shares the history in words and pictures of the ballet company that's become a Cincinnati arts institution. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, David.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's good to be here.
Well, with the long history of music here in the Queen City, I was kind of surprised that Cincinnati Ballet is such a young institution, only hitting 50 right now. What was the dance scene like in Cincinnati back in the 1960s when the company was coming together?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was a fairly long history of ballet here, but a lot of it had to do with the opera. And so at the old Conservatory of Music, there was a fairly active dance program and people who went on to be great dancers. Suzanne Farrell, who was never in the Cincinnati Ballet, right. Became from here, went through that program over there. So there's been a lot of dance, but just not a cohesive thing like this company.
And it was kind of a nationwide trend at the time that a lot of cities were starting their ballet companies about the same time there in the 1960s, early 1960s.
Yeah, absolutely. The federal government, the National Endowment for the Arts, was really pushing it. The Ford Foundation in New York was really encouraging dance. There was a director of the Ford Foundation who felt that, you know, we've supported lots of things, but we've never supported dance. And that changed. Well, dollars do change everything.
So what began the Cincinnati Ballet Company? There was a lot of dance that was here already, but it was, as I read in the book, a few folks who were just sitting around one day and said, we really need a ballet here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, it had nothing to do with federal money or the Ford Foundation. It was three very active teachers. Eventually, there were a few more teachers, but it was three teachers, Merle Lawrence, Virginia Garrett, and Nancy Bauer. And they met specifically to discuss that whole idea in a little tiny studio in Hyde Park on Monteith Avenue. I think it's a yoga studio now. And they sat to discuss the idea. You know, a lot of their best students were leaving. If they wanted to continue dancing, they couldn't do it in Cincinnati. And they wanted to give them a more professional outlet. And it took them 5 years, mind you. That was 1958 when they talked about it. It took till 1963 before they had their first audition.
And I was interested in finding out in the book, Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50, that it all began to develop not only as a professional ballet company, but as the dance department up at CCM, which had just become part of the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a huge connection initially. The very first artistic director they had, a guy named Oleg Sablin, who just died a couple of years ago, and then followed by David McLean, who was the next artistic director. McLean was really the founder of the modern dance department at CCM. And indeed, the company was housed at CCM in the Patricia Corbett Pavilion, all those big studios that was for students as well as for the company.
So in the very beginning, I was surprised to learn it was the Cincinnati Civic Ballet. It took, you talk about it, the idea developing over 5 years from 1958 to 1963, but it wasn't until, what, 68, 69 that it became Cincinnati Ballet.
Well, actually, 68, it became the Cincinnati Ballet Company, and then took another 10 or 15 years and became the you know, just Cincinnati Ballet. So it's gone through these metamorphoses, I guess. But, and it was very much a civic institution. I mean, if we had the opportunity to go back in time and look at that company then, you know, we'd probably be cringing a bit because it was, you know, lots of students, some of whom were more well-meaning than they were talented. but you know, they were on the stage, there were more professional productions, and, you know, that's how we begin.
I'm speaking with David Lyman. He's the author of the new book, Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50. What kind of ballet experiences have you had? You've been involved in the ballet through the years? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or post something on Facebook or tweet us a question if you have. You mentioned David McLean, and really, David McLean, I gathered from the book and reading the history and becoming more familiar with what happened, was really the man who established Cincinnati Ballet and moved it into the present and the future at the time.
Yeah, he was, they often talk about the right person at the right time. And he was a guy who really knew how to, work his way through that academic institution. He had clear vision of where he wanted to go. Each ballet he would bring into the repertory, what was clearly there because it was a stepping stone to another ballet that was even better. He knew specifically where he wanted the company to go. He stuck around almost 18 years. And indeed, since then, there's been no one who's been here that long until Victoria Morgan. She's 1 year shy of it. But in some ways, they had a lot in common. He was really the guy who built it into the company we know today.
A lot of folks don't realize what it takes to run a ballet company. It seems that David McLean balanced it well, and I noticed in the acknowledgments at the end how you talk about meeting David McLean back in the day and how much of an influence he was on your career. What was he like in the way of not only proselytizing about dance and ballet, but just as a man himself?
Well, he was a smart enough man to know that I didn't have the makings of a dancer, so okay. So he never gave me that impression that I was going to go on. But he was a guy he was very quiet, a great little sense of humor. I mean, very, very droll wit. You knew when he smiled, he was delighted. But he's a very, very slight man. But had a very erudite musical taste. He was trained as a musician. He was a clarinetist. So some of the music that they performed to back then was stuff that, I think most companies today would just never dream of putting on the stage. So it was fun for musicians as well then, perhaps more so even.
The ballet had some barnstorming days, I learned in the new book, taking tours of small Kentucky towns. And I didn't learn until the end that you actually were there sweeping floors and helping load scenes and stuff
On a couple of occasions, yes, a few occasions. There's one name that sticks in my little place called Pippa Passes, Kentucky. And I think at the time it only had a population of 200. But there was a small junior college there that drew from around a broader area. The Kentucky Arts Commission at that time wanted more culture in those small towns. So, yeah, they were on the bus constantly going to these little towns. And it's an invaluable thing for a dancer, for any performer. I mean, what you train for is to perform. And, an audience is an audience is an audience. And whether they're people in Pippa Passes or, whether they're people in an opera house in Cleveland, you perform for them. That's where the company grew up, I think.
We're talking about the Cincinnati Ballet turning 50. Can you imagine that? 50 years ago this year, the Cincinnati Ballet began and has come quite a distance in those five decades. It's all chronicled in the new book, Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50, written by David Lyman, with a lot of collaboration there, David. I noticed as you were talking about folks, I was wondering, you're drawing on your experience as a dance writer through the years and experiences here in Cincinnati and with the ballet, but what kind of other help did you get when you were putting this book together?
Oh, I got as much help as I possibly could. The thing is, myself and the ballet company, nobody wanted this just to be a dry history of dates and performances and, any arts institution, it's like any business. There's real live drama taking place and funny things and enlightening things. And so we really wanted to capture some of that. And to do that, I had to talk to lots of people. So I probably talked to anywhere from probably about 120 people along the way, from people who were, original board members, one of whom died during the, production of the book. I mean, it's several people have. I started with the oldest people when I did my interviews. But everyone has different viewpoints, how they see a history. And so I collected as much of it as I could and then tried to tell their tale.
The ballet company seemed to do well with David McLean, but then he passed away.
Yep.
And it began a period of turmoil and some tumultuous years at the Cincinnati Ballet. Talk about those years and the struggles that they had, because as with any arts institutions, there are always artistic differences, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, tumultuous was a good word, even better than turmoil. you know, they went through several artistic directors in the course of 10 or 11 years.
And it's we're talking about the mid-1980s.
Yeah, David McLean died in 1984. And Frederick Franklin, who recently died at the age of 98, was in here for 2 years as an interim sort of position. But it began a string of people coming in who, for the most part, in retrospect, you look at it and say, oh, well, these people weren't here for the company. They were here kind of on the way to somewhere else. Yvonne Nagy was the first of the group and put on some spectacular performances. But you know, truly, from the moment he got here, he was looking to leave. But again, he grew the company in a certain way, left him with a huge deficit, and then there was a gentleman named Richard Collins who was only here for about 18 months, and he unfortunately died in an auto accident. And then it went to a guy named Nigel Burgoyne, who had just taken over the education department at the ballet. He'd only been here 10 days. He didn't even know the dancers' names. And then Peter Anastas, who was a notable choreographer, brought some other sorts of complications with him. And then there was about a year without an artistic director, which was probably a great breather for everybody in the company. And then in came Victoria Morgan, this, you know, person who probably had no idea quite what she was getting into at that point, and yet has really stayed the course and put this company in the black again in a way that they had not been since the time of David McLean.
I love in the book how it's described as savvier and sassier years in what is called, what's the chapter, the Victoria area.
Victoria.
Nice play on words there. And now she is just a year away from matching David McLean's long run here. Yeah. And a lot of folks in Cincinnati don't realize the wealth that we have in all our cultural institutions, but the ballet in particular, that it is well respected, not only here in this region, but across the country.
Yeah, I mean, they in all the touring they've done along the way, they've made lots of friends. And it's interesting how, you know, various choreographers or dancers or, you know, people will gravitate toward this. One of the things that I think I hear from every guest choreographer that comes in, they say, everyone gets along so well here. I mean, this is a company that, you know, people are good to each other. And that's not always the case. I mean, it's not, you know, like Black Swan, not like that movie. But people, there's a great sense of working together and working with other arts institutions in the community as well.
So there are some artistic differences there, but nothing like the, what is that TV show, Breaking Point or whatever?
No, not like that.
Reality TV for a ballet company. That's, quite a three.
You got to make some crises somewhere, right? So.
You also touch on a lot of what in the book are called heroes, the heroes here, among them music director Carmen De Leon.
Yeah. Well, Carmen's been here. I mean, anyone who's listening to this, I suspect, has had some connection to Carmen over the years. You know, whether it was with a community orchestra or the Middletown Symphony or his work with the Cincinnati Symphony. And Carmen is, you know, he's a genuinely nice guy. Everyone talks about what a nice guy he is, and he is. But for the dancers, he's also a guy. He'll spend time in the studio. He'll be watching rehearsal. And when they get to the stage, I mean, if you think about it for a minute, a dancer is incredibly dependent on the tempo of the music. I mean, if that, you know, person in the pit wants to take off, well, oh, geez. So Carmen is a guy who's, he can be like a metronome in the sense that he really knows what it's supposed to be and what works better with one dancer. And the tempo will change from night to night depending on who's dancing a role. He can do that. It makes him invaluable.
And speaking of invaluable, the annual production of the Nutcracker, which has become a mainstay here. And you talk in the book also about the Meyer family's involvement in each year.
It's
the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Just
well, you know, this is, you know, the Meyer family with Frisch's Restaurants, really. I mean, it is the company that actually sponsors, has been sponsoring Nutcracker since day one, since 1974. But at the behest of the family. You know, Jack Meyer, Blanche Meyer. As a matter of fact, in the newest Nutcracker production, and Victoria created this version, it opens, unlike most of them, in the kitchen where they're preparing for a big Christmas ball. And it is called in the program, if you look, it's called Blanche's Kitchen. That's Blanche Meyer.
Nice tribute.
But you know, you go to opening night and you'll see Karen Meyer, you know, from Frisch's, and, you know, other family members. I mean, they are deeply committed to this company. Company has really benefited from that.
And it continues to benefit as it moves into the future. What do you see as the future of the Cincinnati Ballet, with Victoria Morgan beginning to bang on that record that David McLean had with, you know, they really stretching out, trying new things. Last year's concert with Peter Frampton, talking about keeping the dancers together, something entirely new, and bringing a broad demographic to ballet.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, if you go to lots of other arts organizations, I'm not bashing anybody else, but the ballet audience really does have a breadth, a broadness that I think a lot of other organizations would you know, do envy. And some of it is through things like that. This year, Over the Rhine, you know, the band is going to be performing with them again, new music in April. You know, they're doing a version of King Arthur's Camelot, a brand new ballet. Again, is it populist? Well, yeah, that's okay. You know, but are you going to put some good dance in there? And that they will do. You know, you want people in the theater and you want them to watch. So where are they going to go? You know, they haven't asked my advice. I will say, at one point in the book, you know, Victoria basically says, you know, I want more of this. I want more performances, more dancers, more, which is what every good artistic director should say.
Indeed. Well, we've talked a lot about the words, but I have to say the pictures are just amazing, too. How did you collect and where did you collect all those great pictures for the book?
You know, in my contract, I said, just as kind of an afterthought, oh, I'll also be responsible for finding the photos and identifying. And, you know, there are many times I wish, you know, I had opened my wrists rather than said that. It just took forever. We found them also up at UC in the Rare Books Library. I say that is the greatest font of information about the Cincinnati Ballet. They have tremendous number of stuff up there. And they were... You know, there were godsends up there, but there were still lots of holes. So we had a little an ice cream social down at the ballet where invited people to come in and bring their memorabilia. And we found a few photos there. Martha Berger, who was one of the two original trustees, was a pack rat and had, you know, an enormous amount of stuff in her attic. I mean, just here and there. And I'd get an email say, hey, could you use this? And, oh, God, I've been looking at that for, you know, months. So, yeah, everywhere. But it was a pain. But the photos are beautiful. And the designer, Heather Vassellio, who did the design, I think it's just a gorgeous-looking book. I mean, my words are very fortunate to be wrapped in such a beautiful package like that.
You have a great experience as a dance writer and critic, very involved with the Cincinnati Ballet through the years. Did you uncover anything that you didn't know about Cincinnati Ballet as you were writing Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50?
You mean that I can say without threat of a lawsuit? Is that what you know?
Well, as long as I wouldn't have to face the lawsuit, you know, okay for you. But.
Well, you know, there were a few little things. I will say early on, David McLean, his partner, both his life partner and his partner as associate artistic director, a guy named David Blackburn, who danced. And David had a rather terrible kind of separation from the company back in '84 after David McLean died. And he'd been divorced from the company really for a long time. And I, you know, I just kept pestering him, as you know, only my friends know. It's like, oh, we make Lyman go away, please. But I kept pestering. I said, you know, if you want that story to get in here, you have to tell me. And so finally we did. We sat down and did three or four very long interviews. And David just died a month or so ago. But one of the first things he brought to me, he dropped a couple things off at the UC Library, said, these are for you, David. And they were little letters of resignation that David McLean had written a year before he died, having to do with philosophical differences with where the company was going. And they had remained sealed in his bedside table. And I remember opening those things. I got goosebumps right now. It was just, and I have some of the text from that in there. It was, you know, there are just lots of touching things like that, I think. More of that than real scandals.
Yeah, quite a story. Quite a story, though. And I remember reading about those resignation letters that never got mailed.
Oh,
and
what
some of what he said in it. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here today, David.
Mark, thanks very much for having me. I enjoyed talking about it.
David Lyman is longtime dance writer and author of the new commemorative book, Cincinnati Ballet Celebrates 50. Information available at our website, wvxu.org. From the ballet bar to the footlights of the theater, Delin Meyer shares the new Ensemble Theater Cincinnati season with you straight ahead on Cincinnati Edition, and later, free trees for Cincinnati residents, courtesy of the Re-Leaf program.